guest today is Peter Leeson. Peter, how are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you back on my show after a couple of years.
Yes, it was 2 years, 3 years ago.
I can't remember exactly how many, but it was years with an S.
I definitely don't remember what we talked about, so this might really be a repeat performance.
I think it was, well, I don't remember the exact details, but I remember it was after your keynote, and I remember your keynote was excellent, but all your keynotes are excellent. So it's hard to nail down exactly which one. What should we talk about today?
I always talk about quality, so I guess sooner or later we'll talk about quality in one form or another.
You did a couple of talks. You talked yesterday during your keynote at IT Camp about quality, and you're going somewhere else to do another, look at it from a different angle. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
So yesterday, the idea was to try and answer the question, how do you measure quality, rather than how do you measure lack of quality, which is what people are usually doing.
Oh, that's interesting. So define that statement. Expand on it.
So when talking about measuring quality, people are always talking about measuring defects, measuring failures, the cost of quality, and so on.
Okay, so it's a negative.
It's a negative.
Minimize defects, minimize failures.
So there's the concept that two negatives must make a positive.
Yeah, so they're defining it by something that it's not.
Yes.
Which is not a great definition.
And so my idea is to try and turn it into something positive and say, how can I positively measure the quality and design it into it? And I cheated somewhat in the keynote, which I don't think anybody noticed, even though I did stress the fact that halfway through I changed over from measuring to quantifying.
You changed your verbiage, or you changed the meaning, or what?
I changed my verbiage.
Okay.
Because I don't yet have the solution as to how to actually measure the quality.
Oh.
But I was talking about quantifying the quality.
Well, what's the difference?
Quantifying is the speed you're doing. Measuring is what's on your speedometer.
Okay.
So you might be driving too fast at 30 miles per hour. That is quantifying.
Okay.
The fact that there is actually a number attached to it would be the measurement.
Okay, so the raw measurement is the raw value is the measurement, and sort of the meaning and context is the quantification.
So the quantifying is, I want to reduce this, I want to increase this, no matter where it is.
Okay.
And it's a little bit vaguer. But measurement is translating quantification into numbers.
Okay. Is there hope? I mean, so people are now measuring or quantifying by quality is not unquality.
Yeah.
Have we got to somewhere where we can actually tell people how to measure quality?
The number one question is helping people to understand what is quality,
right?
Because it's something which is very vague. We all talk about it, but nobody actually knows what it is.
In writing code, that's very, very true.
Yeah, it's come to these abstract concepts of fit for purpose, satisfies requirements, and so on. And that's not quality. That is contractual obligation.
Oh.
If you're not respecting the requirements, you're not doing your job.
Isn't that a factor in quality?
That's way before quality.
You're saying you can't even start talking about quality until at least you've met this minimum level of requirements. Okay.
If I buy a car and it doesn't have wheels on it, then it doesn't matter how comfortable it is. The rest doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
So satisfying requirements for me, and even exceeding expectations, which is the other term that's frequently used.
Sure,
for
I use
me,
that a lot, actually.
Is basic contractual obligations.
Okay.
It's doing what you should be doing.
Okay.
Okay, again, if I buy a car, I'm buying it to get from point A to point B, and I want it to go fast, or I want it to be comfortable, or I want it to be cheap, whatever it is, or environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. And then there is the additional thing that I really like about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am buying the car basically because of that additional thing.
Hmm.
It's the wow factor.
Maybe the coolness. Yeah,
yes, the coolness. It's, they've got a tablet in order to manage the radio. And it's a gadget,
all right,
but it's the wow factor. It's,
I can relate to this. I just bought a Ford Mustang, and I live in downtown Chicago, where this car looks really amazing going 20 miles an hour in city traffic.
Yep.
That's the wow factor for me.
I had to buy a car a few years ago because I've been working as an international consultant, working around the world for many years. I never had a car because it would stay parked in airports and train stations everywhere. And then I took on a permanent job, which is 15 minutes to drive from my home, and it's 2 hours about by public transport.
I see.
So I had to buy a car. And I said, okay, so I'm buying a car to drive 15 minutes through town in the morning, 15 minutes through town in the evening. Question, is Lamborghini quality? Okay.
In that context.
It isn't. Okay. It's
so all the wow factors that Lamborghini has, like going from 0 to 120 miles an hour in 2 seconds, are not...
Pointless. I'd never get to use that.
And that criteria, in your example. Okay.
And it's trying to understand that and then trying to quantify your quality based on what is the wow factor you want to produce and for who you are producing it.
Okay.
So if I'm trying to sell a software or a product to a startup company or to a multinational, or to a company that has passed its best and is on the decline and trying to recapture its market, they're very different wow factors I want.
Sure.
And it's trying to understand that and designing it into the product from before you start. So
that seems a key. Is that, when you were a consultant, is that a key piece of what you're telling people about quality is start early?
Yes. So when I was a consultant, I always used to say, if you're paying me $100, I need you to feel you've had at least $101 worth of value out of me.
Okay.
And it's difficult to quantify because as a consultant, I'm telling people stuff and then getting out of it before they actually do anything about it.
Right.
What was it? If you know how to do something, you do it. If you don't know how to do it, but you know the theory, you teach it. If you're not quite sure as the theory, you become a consultant and get the hell out of the place before they see the results.
So we say, in America, we say, those who can do, those who can't teach, and those who can't teach, consult.
Yep.
That's a variation on it.
And I said that frequently as a consultant. I thought I'm allowed to say that.
Okay. I'm an ex-consultant myself.
Yeah. So it's just trying to get people to understand it. And for me, it comes then down to, and that's the subject of my next talk, which I'm giving this afternoon, which is that quality is produced by the people.
Okay.
Full stop. It doesn't matter what technology, what tools you're using, what methodologies, what standards, what work practices, whatever, it all comes down to the people.
Okay, so and the corollary is that you should be focusing your attention on the people if you want to improve quality.
So the tools, whether they are processes or technology, the tools are there to support the people to make it easier for them to produce good quality.
All right, that's fair. I wrote a whole blog post on this years ago. When I was a consultant, I took a step back one day and I thought, am I a technologist? I work with technology all day. I work for a technology company. And my conclusion was, I am not a technologist. I am a problem solver. And problems are often people related.
Yes.
I may use technology to help solve those problems.
It's a tool. A tool. And in the software industry, I get so annoyed with these companies that want to do everything according to the principles of Agile or CMMI or whatever other. They are tools. And sometimes very good tools and frequently completely misused. Why would you only use one tool for all your problems?
Right.
Okay, if you're in the building industry, sometimes you need a screwdriver, sometimes you need a hammer. And whichever technology you're talking about, it's very good in the right context, and it's a waste of time and money in another context.
Are there some more general principles that can apply across industries to help people to improve their quality?
Yes, so this is the starting point of my talk this afternoon, is that I have been working in the IT industry for over 40 years and had a few jobs before that as a student. And in the, whatever it is, 45 years that I have been working in companies around the world, I found there's one thing which always comes back, and that is that the people who are really productive and creative all share one characteristic, and that is that they are happy and enjoying their job. And so that's basically where I'm starting from this afternoon, is how do you make people happy at work?
And is that so you're starting with that question. Are you going to answer the question before the
end
of the talk?
Tell us.
We won't tell anybody.
Oh, yes.
What's the answer?
It's most of the talk. I mean, it's most of the talk. It's finding what are the things that people need. And it leads up from basic concepts like you need a decent salary.
Sure.
And it goes up to probably the most difficult one, and that is trust. You need to trust your management, and your management needs to trust you.
Okay.
And that's the most difficult one, especially when you start talking about measurements and metrics, because I know they're going to use this measurement of me to punish me at the end of the year. And in my day job, I've just gone through the yearly reviews, and I started off with my line manager. And I had to give my own appraisal to him. And so I walked in and I said, these yearly reviews are a complete waste of time. They're demoralizing, they're demotivating. The idea is that I will come in and say how good I am and that I need more money. And you're going to tell me how bad I am and that I shouldn't get more money. And we'll argue for a while and then we agree. So I filled in my bit. I've done my job. I think I've done it fairly. I don't think I've done more than what was expected. I don't think I've done less than what's expected. Can we move on now?
What was his response?
He enjoyed it because it's one of the shortest reviews he had because he didn't have to argue.
That's funny. I actually spoke at Yonder, where you're speaking, and I brought up annual reviews. My talk was about more from, not from the management side, but from the employee side. And annual reviews, I didn't call them a waste of time, but they're flawed in a lot of ways. And I encouraged people to manage their career between reviews. Don't wait for your manager. Because too many companies, they, you know, 12 months later, they've either forgotten what you did in February, or or they might have even moved on, and they may have misinterpreted.
Desperately going back through 12 months trying to remember what the heck you were doing, what was good, what was bad.
It's just another measure of quality, right? The quality of the people doing that work.
Yeah,
you know, obviously they're producing something.
They're producing
downstream
something.
that has some.
It's a misuse of measurement.
But the management companies are implementing some measurement of the quality of the individual, because they're basing bonuses and salaries and retention on that. And annual reviews, I agree with you. I won't go so far to say they're a complete waste of time, but because sometimes I get a bonus or a raise out of them. But they are flawed in many ways.
Yes. I want them on a continuous basis.
Yes. Like a weekly review is much better. And that's what
I want weekly meetings with my management, who's going to tell me what I've done well or badly and where I can give feedback.
At least weekly communication. Yeah. The meetings aren't always possible, but communication, definitely.
Yeah. Well, but not emails.
Right.
I've grown to have a loathing of emails.
Well, my boss is in another state. He's two states away, so it's a challenge sometimes.
I get between 100 and 150 emails per
day.
I know. And I just, if you contact me by email, there's a chance I will never read it.
And I'm starting to feel better about the fact that I've lost your email address. You're talking about quality in your book, right?
Yes.
What's your message in here? How many chapters? So the word quality is actually the title. How many chapters would you say are devoted to quality?
I think all of them.
All of them are devoted to quality. Okay.
Not always obvious. Not always obvious. But you know this because you wrote a review which is in the first pages of the book.
I liked it a lot.
it's again focused on the people aspect. So one of the things that I'm trying to push is rather than having companies that are based on an old-fashioned hierarchy of kings and barons, I want companies that are organized around the knowledge flow.
Right.
So you should be getting the knowledge, the information, the whatever it is you need, when you need it, rather than having to ask questions which have to go five levels up in the hierarchy to go five levels back down the other side, and you get your answer 6 months later.
Okay.
And it isn't even the answer to the question you asked.
Yeah. So omnidirectional flow of communication is one thing, and then fewer layers that inhibit communication is another.
I don't care if you're a business analyst or an architect or a designer or a coder. You should get the answer you need when you need it. You should understand what your clients are looking for at all times and how that impacts on your work.
Did you just say that in this edition, my review is in the book?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Let me see this. So I'm going to check this out. Feedback. Is it on this section?
No. It's a little bit further.
Let me see that. Oh, look at that. Oh, my picture, too. Yeah, I did not know that. Yes. Oh, my. So I have an autographed copy of the book, but obviously it's not this edition because I read that and produced that. Well, we got to get the picture. Look at this. Check it out. Huh? That's going in my annual review right there.
And the picture was taken right this here, right here
at IT Camp in Cluj. Outstanding. Thank you.
So I'll have to give you a new copy.
I'm going to hold you there. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Do you still finish off with a statement about technology and friends?
Yes, I do, and you just did.
Okay.